إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and of our egos and from the effects of our ill actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, nobody can guide. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mati salam wa kafa biha ni'ma. Alhamdulillah, we say Alhamdulillah ala ni'mati salam. Thank Allah, we give full thanks to Allah for the ni'mah of Islam. Wa kafa biha ni'ma. And sufficient is the ni'mah of Islam. So long as our iman and our Islam is intact, whatever happens on the outside doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for us that we have to take action and study our own Islam and our own selves. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. As long as our Islam is intact, it doesn't matter. Ibn Taymiyyah was in prison, and his student came to visit him, Ibn Qayyim, and he was crying. So Ibn Taymiyyah said, "Atabki alayya bunay? Are you crying for me because I'm in prison?" He said, "La yubunay, la wallahi." He said, "Don't cry because I'm in prison." He said, "Al-mahbus, the person who is in prison, alladhi habasa qalbuhu an rabbi, is the one who has imprisoned his heart from Allah, the person who isn't able to connect with Allah. Wal asir alladhi atarrahu hawa, and the person who is a slave is the one who is a slave to his desires, like we've been speaking about for the past couple of weeks. Person who just follows his desires, impulse reactions. As soon as he goes to a shop, he sees an offer, buy one, get one free, follows, doesn't matter. Does he need it? No, he wants to buy one. I've got a good deal. Buying and buying and eating and eating and all of those little things which we just feel that we're enslaved to. So we've been in, as we said in the last couple of weeks in the khutbahs, we need to recalculate and reevaluate. Who are we? What is our type of nafs? Do we follow our desires, or are we people of himmah, people of risalah, people who have a message? Now, as you've seen recently in the news over the past week, quite a devastating week, but it's a reminder to us. We have to remember, this is a reminder. We don't get too upset over the people who died, because Allah takes shuhada from us. These people are shaheed, inshaAllah, the people who have died in the sake of Allah. But there's aid workers on the way to Gaza to deliver aid. And as we know, there were people from Israel who came and attacked them, and we all know the story. I mean, I'm sure you probably know more than me. But the issue is that this is just a reminder. We forgot 18 months ago, over 1,400 people were killed in Gaza. And this is just a reminder. Just a reminder. And then, obviously, the Cumbria shooting that happened not long ago, that's another reminder which brings it back to home, back to where we actually live. We can see the devastation of people when they see what this is like. Just a small taste. So 1,400 deaths, most people don't even know any of the names of the people who were killed in Gaza 18 months ago. And a lot of Muslims have probably forgotten about it, unfortunately. But this is a reminder to us. And we need to say to ourselves, what do we do? Because 18 months ago we saw this happen, and we saw devastation in the world, the Muslim world. People going on muzaharat, they're going on demonstrations, and activists, and doing all of these things. All good and well. But what happens after that? 2-3 months down the line, it's forgotten about. People go back to watching Britain's Got Talent, X Factor, all of these TV shows which just suck them into another world. So this is called hamasa waqtiyya, temporary emotion. A temporary emotion, hamasa waqtiyya. Just a very temporary emotion. You react and then you forget about it. And as we said, it's like dogs are like this. Dogs react and then they forget. A dog, no matter how many times you kick your dog, he will be loyal to you. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be likened to animals, like Allah did and said in the Quran about the ghafileen. And in the Quran, there's an ayah, which is an ayah, it's a conditional ayah, but it's an ayah which is a sort of a rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, the 8th verse, كَيْفَ وَإِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْكُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٌ يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah says, كَيْف, and the كَيْف is a كَيْف as full stop. كَيْف, Allah is asking us, how, He's shaking us. كَيْف وَإِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ, when they have means over you, when they have power over you, لَا يَرْكُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٌ, they hold no ties or no sanctity to the treaty that you have. They don't hold the ties that they have. They have an agreement and they break the agreement. They please you with their mouths. They say that we want peace, we want this, we want that. And their hearts say something else. Their hearts deviate from what they say. And most of them are fasiq. They break laws. They're not upright in their lives. So this is a rule Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. But he's not telling us that we have to act the same way, because Surah At-Tawbah, if you study the Surah At-Tawbah from the beginning to the end, and many people study this Surah to attack Muslims. I knew it, there's an ayah in there that says, kill the mushrikeen. If you really study it, this is a real Surah of Rahmah. It tells you that you have to have treaties with people and hold up to the treaties. And if they do wrong to you, you don't do the same back. You have to have those particular conditions. Now, as we said, alhamdulillah, but alhamdulillah, we're living in a place where if you want to have a shower, you go home, you push a button and the hot water's there. You want to eat, you go to the supermarket, the food is there. The shelves are full, our fridges are full, we have deep freezers. We have all of these means that we sometimes forget that we're not thankful for. And there's people in Gaza now and all over the world, Muslim and non-Muslim, who we really need to feel some kind of compassion towards. And we want to study a character, a historical character, who was a great example of somebody who saw a problem, who acted accordingly, and who became a historical figure. And it's all good and well for us to say, look at the historical figures of Islam, but it's a difference for us to actually be that historical figure. And it's the same concept of somebody looking at somebody eating food and saying, I'm full. You can't, you have to eat the food yourself. So we need to be the new people. We need to, inshallah, the next generation who comes can look into us and say, look what they did for us. Not just to say that they sat there and did nothing. And he said, it's not hamas or qatiyah, not just a temporary emotion, but an actual, real activism. Activism which actually has results. Now, the character I wanted to talk about today was Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi. Salah ad-Din was a great character. And he was somebody who was born, and he wasn't even an Arab. He was born from a Kurdish family. So it doesn't mean you have to be Arab in order to go high in the deen or go high in power. Salah ad-Din was a Kurdish family, and he was born into a political leadership family. And up until the age of 30, it was said, he didn't even care about the whole politics. He was in the political family, but he didn't really care. He was concerned about his horse, riding on his horse, being a young man, doing the things that young people want to do, just dressing nice and looking after himself. And the condition of the Muslim Ummah at the time was very similar to today. All of the Muslim countries were divided. All of the different sects of Islam were divided. Everyone wanted their own power. Everyone arguing over petty fiqh issues and aqidah issues which have no relevance, which don't really come with a result. So the same situation was in there, very similar. And he saw the problem. But what was the one thing which made him tick, which made him say, I'm going to change? 30 years of his life, 28, 30 years, he's doing nothing. Just living his life, born into a leadership family, he doesn't care. He saw the Crusaders. He went to Egypt. His father and his family put him as a leader of Egypt. So he went to Egypt and he saw the Crusaders in Egypt. The Crusaders, one of the instances that he saw was that was a Crusader who were the people of who were claiming to be of the Christian faith. They were holding down an old man on the floor with his foot against his neck. He saw this image. And how many images have we seen? We've seen as wallahi, and I don't encourage anyone to look at these images too much because it numbs your heart if you don't act on them. But look at them and act on it. I've seen little babies with their heads blown off. Now this is a crime against humanity, whatever religion they are. We don't care what religion or what faith or what belief they have. This is a crime against humanity. Salah ad-Din just saw a crusader holding an old man on the floor with his foot. And he said, Uqsim billah, I swear to Allah, and ufni umri fi sabilik, I will spend and exert the rest of my life in your way, Ya Allah. That's what he said. He made the promise and immediately he acted. He was day and night working. He didn't stop. And we need to study this character. It's an amazing character. His name lives on till today. People love Salah ad-Din, and everyone says, may your son be like Salah ad-Din. What did Salah ad-Din do as soon as he saw this? He didn't go out making demonstrations or marching or parading. He started immediately studying very hard. He'd already studied the religion quite well, but he increased his study. The roots of his study come from Imam al-Ghazali, who wrote a book called Ahya Ulum al-Din. Imam al-Ghazali taught and people followed, and then Nur al-Din, who was Salah ad-Din's teacher, he taught Salah ad-Din and he was studying and studying. He spent his time studying. What does Allah want from me? What does this mean? What does this ayah mean? Studying, spending your time in study. We really need to do this. Study our faith, study your etiquette, study how we need to live in our lives. These things are very important. And in Egypt, he made 1,000 maqra'ah. 1,000 maqra'ah, and they were responsible by women. Women were in charge. 1,000 maqra'ah, which is a place where people go to learn Qur'an. 1,000, imagine 1,000 schools of Qur'an, just for people to learn the Qur'an. He didn't say, let's learn about jihad and let's learn about fighting. No, he said, let's start from the roots. He said, let's start with Qur'an, because this is the way. The Qur'an is the only way out. So he established 1,000 schools for women to teach children Qur'an. And the poem that we say, al-ummu madrasa, idha adattuha adatta jilan. The mothers our schools. If you prepare the mothers, you prepare the whole generations to come. So that's what we need to know. We need to study on this, really concentrate on the sisters as well. And we need to encourage sisters to come to Jum'ah. It's not obligation for the sisters to come to pray Jum'ah, but it's highly encouraged. Just, and it's alhamdulillah ala Jum'ah. Jum'ah is a beautiful day. We come together, we meet our brothers, and it's not good for us to come just to fulfill the wajib and leave. Come and get to know the brothers and see how we can help each other. Work in institutions, see what we have to offer. So Salahuddin made 1,000 schools, and he was constantly spreading the religion and spreading the teaching of the Quran and spreading the knowledge. And he spent 15 years doing this. 15 years. Not just a few 6 months and he got bored. 15 years doing this. Very, very, very patient, but very active. And when there were people asked later what was his character like, he was Hasan al-Aqidah. He loved studying Aqidah. He loved studying the religion of Allah. So Kathir al-Bukair, he was a very, very, he cried a lot. If he sama al-Qur'an, dama'at aynah. If he heard the Qur'an, his eyes started to tear. Very gentle man. People think Salahuddin is a warrior. It shows you how very, very gentle man. He was a very gentle man in his life. He wouldn't accept anybody speaking about people in his presence. If somebody started gossiping, he wouldn't accept it, or he'd leave. He was very gentle man, very rahim. He used to look after the old people, after the people in need. That's Salahuddin, and it's an excellent character to study. And the etiquettes that he had were beautiful. Really, wallahi study, I mean, we don't have time to go through all of them, but if we study his character, that's what we need. We need our children to become like Salahuddin. And the children will only become the way we are. If the children see us lying and cheating and gossiping and screaming and shouting, they'll turn out the same. And many times, if you always look into how people study people, they always look at their childhood. What was their childhood like? How did their parents punish you? How did their parents treat you? So we really need to study for ourselves and for the sake of our children, because maybe we have bad habits, but if we can break those bad habits, inshallah the next generations will change. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa shadidu bis-sur'a." A strong person isn't one who fights and who reacts quickly. "Innama shadida alladhi yamluku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." Rather, the strong person is one who is able to channel his anger when he is angry. "Yamluku nafsahu," control himself when angry. So somebody swears at you. Are you going to punch them straight away and say, "Oh, well, he swore at me"? Or are you able to channel it and speak to them normally? And channel. And we're seeing these things in the world. And we're talking about Gaza today because Salahuddin, he took over Gaza. And what happened when he took over Jerusalem and recaptured the Quds? I've seen Jewish historians who have said, "Salahuddin is my hero." Jewish historians said that Salahuddin al-Ayyubi is my hero. Why is Salahuddin his hero? Because he established peace and harmony. Everyone was free to worship what they want. He let the churches be, the synagogues be, and every upright, objective Jewish person will tell you that the best time that Jewish people have been able to practice their religion was under Muslim control. Because Muslims were able to establish harmony. There was no bias and there was no hypocrisy. They did it justly. Look at Cordoba and Andalus, Spanish Islam, in the Islamic era, the Islamic Spain. The best historians, Salahuddin's own physicians were Jewish. So he didn't have a problem with the religion. He had a problem with people who were killing his people. That was the problem. So we don't attack the faith, we attack the people who are doing the wrong. So Salahuddin, when he captured Jerusalem, he said everyone can go free. If you want to leave, you can leave. If you want to stay, you can stay. Your temples, your synagogues, everything will stay as it is. And we will look after the people in need, and we will protect the people who are oppressed. That's what true Islam is. And we need to try and establish something similar in this country as well. Don't let people be fearful of us. Don't let people say, "Who are those Muslims?" We need to really connect with them. And we have some great people, non-Muslims, who are really help us as Muslims. And we even have a police officer who comes to help us to take the chairs aside and help us. He's the first one here, mashallah. And he's not Muslim, but we encourage that because he enjoys coming and he's part of the society and he's a friend of ours. So we need to really befriend our neighbours and really reach out to the people. So Salahuddin is a great example of someone we should really try and... If it's too late for us, then at least try and make our children do something. But inshallah, we really need to wake up, smell the coffee, and try and really just see what we can do to change. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Quran al-Kareem says, in Surah Al-Qasas, "ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to mun, namun ala dina sadaifu, to give hope and to give blessings to the people who have been oppressed. ونجعلهم أئمة, and to make them leaders. ونجعلهم الوارثين, and to make them the inheritors. ونمكن لهم في الأرض, and to give them control over the land. This is talking about Bani Israel, because Bani Israel were oppressed by Fir'aun. And as we said many times, Fir'aun and Musa and Haman, and the story of Pharaoh and Harun is the most repeated story in the Quran. And there's a huge example for us there. Why is that the most repeated story in the Quran? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَهَمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُمَا مَا كَانُوا مِنْهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Allah says, we wish to show Fir'aun. And Fir'aun is the example of the political system, the corrupt political system. وَهَمَانُ is the economical system which powers all of this. وَجُنُودُهُمَا and the armies who protect these things, the police force and the army who protect these corrupt systems. What they were fearful of, because they're scared of the truth. Fir'aun knows he's not a lord, he's not a god. He knows the truth, but he's scared that if the truth comes out, he loses his power. So that's exactly the same now. But what do we have now? People who are wasting time. Salah ad-Din didn't waste time. He never wasted time. And if you look at the leaders of the world today, there was a study done on people and television. And television is a very it sucks you into an illusion. There was a study done that says that the average person watches 30 hours of television a week. Huge amount of television a week. And it says children watch 40 to 60 hours a week. Imagine that, the babysitter for the children, throw him in front of the TV. 40 to 60 hours a week. And it says managers, people who are in a managerial position in companies, they watch less. They watch about 10 to 20 hours a week. Directors of companies watch 5 to 10 hours a week. The CEOs and the people who really move the society, they watch 2 to 3 hours of television a week, and 50% is towards what they are working with. So if they're working advertising, they'll study something there. Imagine the people who are controlling the world don't study TV. They study books and they study and they read and they mix with people. Television is an illusion, and we really delude our minds, and it puts us into this hypnagogic state. A hypnagogic state is something where you're in a delusion. It's like if you watch children watch television, they just go into a head. They don't know what's happening. They're just attracted to this television, and they're hooked to their programs. And if you take the television away, they feel empty. It's their best friend. People come home, television on, best friend. So we really need to wake up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَ هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Surah Yasin. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَ هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They say, when is this promise if you are but true? مَا يَنْظُرُوا لَإِنَّ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. All they expect, or all that's going to happen, is one sayha, one blow of a horn while they are arguing. Arguing, يخصمون, whenever it's خصام, it means they can either be rejecting by arguing or rejecting in their own selves, saying, when the sa'ah, the hour is long to come, we still have plenty of time, I'm not going to die for another 60 years. Those are the type of people who don't even think about it. And the sa'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the sa'ah can be qareeb, it could be tomorrow, it could be, Prophet Muhammad sallam said, wa'adtu ana wa sa'ah kahatayn, me and the hour have been sent like this. So Muhammad sallam and then the sa'ah. Muhammad sallam is a sign of the hour. And all of the religious people will tell you this. Or even the Torah and the Injil. The last prophet is the sign of the Sa'ah. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ. And Surah Yasin carries on. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ. And the trumpet is blown. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ يَنْسُلُونَ. And they will be woken up. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْتَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. They will say, oh, curse us. Who woke us up from the haze and dream we were in? It could be that they were in their graves and they were woken up, or that they were just in a dream that they were living. They were just living this dream, carrying on like just grazing the lands, not thinking of anything real. And they say, who woke us up? That's what the nafqa is going to do. And the nafqa, if we know, Israfil is standing there with his mouth to the trumpet. He's already taken his breath, he's gone down and he's ready to blow. It says his eyes have not blinked, waiting for the order of Allah to blow the trumpet. So any time that can happen. And then there's people who are doing sins in the day and in the night, sleepwalking in day and night. And when Allah says sleeping, some of the Mufassirin say sleeping in the Quran means sleeping in the day and the night. Because Allah says, بِاللَّيْلُ nahar. People who are sleeping in the day doesn't mean you've fallen asleep in the day. Meaning, you're asleep in the day, you're just daydreaming. So we need to wake up, really wake up, and think about the people who have been oppressed. We've seen these things, and we don't encourage it. Because Muhammad ﷺ in Ghazwat Uhud, when there were many bodies who had died, he said immediately to cover the bodies up. Because he doesn't want people to see these things. He saw Hamza, his uncle's body, ripped up and after Hind had eaten from it. And he saw these things, but he didn't encourage people to look at it, because if you don't act, you will be asked, you will be accountable. حسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحسبوا. Hold yourselves to account before you are held to account. So we really need to wake up, brothers and sisters. This is an advice to myself and to everyone. We really need to wake up. And the first and foremost thing that we said, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, is ourself. How do we control ourselves? What type of self are you? Are you in the nafs al-amara, commanding self, you follow your desires? Or nafs al-mutma'inna, are you the person who is completely in control and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you a nafs al-lawwama, the person going back and forth, back and forth? وَالْعَوْضُ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّفْسِ الْغَافِلَةِ. We hope not to be from nafs al-ghafilah. Nafs al-ghafilah, they're the ones who have the biggest shock. And it says that يوم القيامة أكثر أهل النار سريخ, the people who will shout and scream most in Jahannam will be المسوفين, the people who will say سوفا, the people who say inshallah I'll do that, let's study some Quran inshallah tomorrow, inshallah tomorrow, inshallah next year, inshallah when I get older, inshallah I'll do Hajj later, I'll do it when I get older, older. Those are the people who will say, if only I had done something then, if only Allah had guided me, if only Allah had given me the and Allah has guided us. He doesn't lead people astray, He doesn't lead people astray, He gives people signs, ayat and ayat and ayat, the heavens and the earth, there are many things around us which are signs, but we need to really use our intellect and wake up. So I advise us all to really think about ourselves and have a role model. Have a role model present and past. There are many historical figures who have done great things for Islam. But that's not enough. Look at them and look at current people. Who can we learn from? Study Quran. Quran is a great study. There are things that happen. We have our brothers who study Quran on Friday. Today there's a maqra'ah in the mosque, in the prayer room here in Royal Holloway. On Saturday there's a halaqah. There are many halaqahs you can go to. You can do many things to learn, but we will need to learn. And Muhammad Iqbal, who was a, I'm sure most of you know him, Muhammad Iqbal, he was a poet and a philosopher. He sent a message, or he wrote a poem as a message to the people who want to attack Islam. And what was his poem? He said, عَلِّمُ اللَّيْهِ غَفْلَةِ الضَّبْءِ. Teach the lion the walk of the deer. So if you want to defeat us as Muslims, teach the lion, Umar ibn Khattab, Salah al-Din, Khalid ibn Walid, these great powerful leaders, teach them the walk of the deer. Teach him to wear his cap on the side and to put his trousers down and to walk a particular way and to be hip-hop and listen to this rap music. And that's what he says. A man is a man. We don't see, Umar ibn Khattab wouldn't go dancing around hip-hop, disco clubs and all of these things. He wouldn't do that. There were people who danced those days. He wouldn't do that. Umar ibn Khattab was too busy. Khalid ibn Walid was too busy. Salah ad-Din was too busy. They wouldn't be dancing and prancing around like women. And it's not an insult to women. There are things for women and things for men. Women should fulfill their obligations and men fulfill our obligations. So he said, عَلِمُ اللَّيْ قَبِدُ الضَّبْ. Teach men the walk of the deer. Just to prance around. وَمْحُوا قَصَةَ الْأَسَدْ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ الْقَدِيمِ. And wipe out the stories of the lion from the modern history. Meaning to say, make them forget about that Muslims ruled Spain for 900 years and that they were the leaders and they had great figures and all of the leaders of Islam. Make them forget about these figures. It doesn't matter. And ask people now, do you know about the Khulafa al-Rashidin? Do you know Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Do you know Salah al-Din? Do you know all of these great figures? People don't know. And what they do, the people in the cinema and the movies, they're very clever. They create fictional characters. So they'll come along and create Superman, Batman, Rambo single-handedly takes on the whole Russian army. One man with one gun, he takes on a whole army. That's amazing. And kids want to be like them. And he wears his hat the same way, and he does his thing, dresses the same way. And they copy these fake illusions. They're nothing. Wallahi, I mean, this is something we really need to reflect on. And we've all know these things. Arnold Schwarzenegger shooting down people and all of these. Oh wow, he's an action hero. In real life, they're not action heroes. They're just normal people. They're scared. They don't have much to do. That's what they want to try and give us. But we have some real characters. But it's not enough. We need to be the new characters. We need to come up with some new characters. And now is not a time of war. We don't fight in this country. We don't throw bombs and throw rocks at when we do our demonstrations. We don't throw things at shops. These shops have nothing to do with our problem. We have to be really, really organized. And really stop ourselves from arguing about stupid things. And one last thing was that when Portugal, and when the armies wanted to defeat Cordoba and Andalus, they used to always be sending people to see what the conditions of the Muslims were at the time. So there were some people, and these are different stories said here and there, but there were people, they came to see what the Muslim condition was like, and they saw two boys arguing over a particular tashkil of a hadith. Is it fataha or fataha? Yani, arguing over, it's an important issue, but it's good that they're arguing over important things. These are good things to talk about. And in Iraq, in the time of Abu Hanifa, studying hadith was a pastime for them. The same way that we sit down around the television, watch our programs and films, they used to sit down and study hadith. So people wanted to come and invade Qurtuba. They used to see others, what are these children doing? Are they studying hadith or are they playing? So then afterward they used to send people, and they saw that they were too occupied with love and falling in love with people. We need to be careful of this, brothers and sisters, because Shaitan, and you read this in the Quran, when Shaitan lured Adam and Eve away from, he made them do what he wanted them to do, the ayah says, دَلَّهُمَ بِغُرُورِ. دَلَّهُمَ means he let them dangle, hang there, بِغُرُورِ, in delusion. And that's what the shaitan does to us, and that's what all of these things do to us. They give us hopes and dreams which don't exist. دَلَّهُمَ بِغُرُورِ. He let them dangling there. Don't let shaitan dangle us. We have to be in control. And as we said last time, shaitan is the weakest. The plot of the shaitan is weak. All you have to say is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and be upright. Very simple. It's your nafs which holds on to the sins and all those bad actions. So we really, brothers and sisters, need to reflect and contemplate over our condition. Look at the conditions of the people who have been oppressed. Thousands and thousands of people have passed. It happens again and again and again over history. But it's up to us to change, inshaAllah. We need to study. We need to really study this deen properly. It's not enough just to take it out the Quran every Ramadan. Study a juz a month, a juz even a year, but study. Study, have a continuous action of study. And the last but not least, which is our salah. Salah al-mu'min al-du'a. The weapons for the mu'min is du'a. This supplication to Allah, which we think we just do quickly in the end of the salah, this is du'a. This is salah, this is a weapon. Allah asks us, He said, whoever doesn't pray to me, يَغْضَبُ عَلَيْهِ. If you don't ask Allah, He will be angry with you. Don't expect Allah to think and understand what you know. He knows what you're thinking. But Allah wants you to ask. He wants ilhah. Ilhah is constantly, it's like a type of a nagging. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Constantly saying that. And Allah says, يَسْتَحْمِنِ الْعَبْدِ. Allah is shy, or he has no other alternative but to answer the dua if you keep asking. And the dua al-mazloom is answered. Allah, Prophet ﷺ said, dua al-mazloom, the people who are oppressed will be answered. Now alhamdulillah, we have a great opportunity in this country. We really need to preserve the rights and responsibilities we have. We have rights in this country which we want to preserve. Excellent rights which we have. We can articulate our arguments very well in open spaces. And we need to really concentrate on this. Study our religion well. Don't have hamas waqt here. Don't get too angry. And as we said, dua, we really need to have dua inshaAllah. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت اللهم انصر المستضعفين يا رب في كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المستضعفين في غزة يا رب العالمين اللهم انصرهم وفك كيدهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم عنا على قدوة الخلفاء الراشدين وعنا على أن نمثل ما فعلوا يا رب العالمين اللهم أرنا الحق حق وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمين 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 صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينحى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة